It's not a white Christmas, at least it's not in Chicago. And it's not a white Christmas in Florida, where Tim Walsh is joining us. Tim, good morning.
Hey, Gary Lee, how are you?
I'm well. Tim, I was just thinking this out. You and I have chatted on about, well, it's like, I think this is the fourth radio station we've talked about Christmas toys on, which means that you are a durable man and that I can't keep a job.
Well, I've had many jobs throughout my career in toys, but it always, yeah, I enjoy talking to you about fun stuff.
Tim Walsh is the, wow, I don't have time for your resume, Tim. The inventor of Tri-Bond, among other things, and Blurt, and just a zillion things, but he's got a new thing called Megamouth. And Tim, I want you to know that Megamouth is going to be under the tree for some of my relatives.
Nice.
I called up Target, and they knew who you were.
Yeah, right.
Megamouth. So, for folks, this is a tricky one to describe on radio. Let's anybody out there, are you a football fan? All right. So you'll notice now that they've finally figured out that people can read lips. So when the camera zooms in and you see the coach, you know, used to see the coach saying something was you know, a lot, should we say, not exactly clean. They finally said, hey, cover your mouth there, Wally. And that's the deal. But Megamouth goes the other way. It's about lip reading. And
if
you can imagine, wow, you have to imagine a big magnifying glass in front of your mouth, and then you theoretically whisper, right?
Yes, you mouth the clues to a category, like you might be pizza toppings, that's the category.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at my gigantic mouth, and because we're on the same team, and I say pepperoni without literally saying the words. I'm just mouthing the words, and you have to try to guess as many as you can in 30 seconds. And it's a team game.
It's, you know, and I don't have anybody here today to play. It's one of those sort of, you know, Christmas Eve things. I was going to ask the folks at Walmart if they could come over. I'm sorry. Oh boy, I blew it. The folks at Target. Jeez, if they would come over and we could, you know, we could sort of, you know, practice on the air here. Can I make a point? I think Megamouth, I think it's $15. Is that about right?
It's usually $19.99, but they're doing a promo on it now. We got on the Today Show was it last week or the week before? And
Is it flying off the shelves?
It seems to be doing well. You know, I tend to make very simple games, and the origin of this one was seeing a lady, and I was visiting my business partner in Taiwan, and in Taiwan, even before COVID, workers in a grocery store, if they're handling food, they have a face mask, and it's not a fabric one, it's clear plastic, and it kind of rests on your chin, and it covers just your mouth and a little bit of your nose. And I was looking at this woman wearing one, and I thought, you know, if that lens was a magnifying lens instead of just clear plastic, that would be hilarious because her mouth would look way too big for her body. And I came back and started just kind of thinking about it, and then I Googled magnified mouth. And if you do that on Google, you see all these people holding up a magnifying lens to their face. Like, it's a thing that people do because it's funny looking.
Yeah.
So I thought, I can turn this into a game.
It is funny, and we're going to try to post, if you just joining us in the pirate radio world, we try to get as much stuff on our website, which is bleat.network, including a picture of Megamouth, and Tim actually looks funny even without that thing in front of his face. it's really a nice touch. So you were on the Today Show. I didn't know that, man. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, I had nothing to do with it except I invented the game, of course. But the PR company for the company that makes it, you know, pitched them, and they actually texted me the night before and said, "Are you sitting down? They're going to play Megamouth tomorrow on the TV."
Wow!
Like,
oh wow! Jeez, yeah, that's the one. That's the one of your games that doesn't lend itself so well to radio. But wow, that's
true.
Cool. That's cool. No. Well, Christ, if you got the Today Show, you don't need us.
Oh no, that's not true.
No, I'm looking up what you just said on the pictures of magnified mouths on Google.
Yeah,
it is hysterical.
One of the first ones that came up when I Googled it was Jack Nicholson holding a holding a magnifying lens to his face.
Wow. This is so cool. You know, I think that it's, I don't know, I always get a kick out of talking to you. You're one of those people that, I don't know what the word is, you get paid for doing stuff you like, which is everybody's dream, right?
Well, yeah, and I, as you know, it didn't start that way. It just was kind of this crazy thing where Trivial Pursuit in the late 80s sold so many copies that a lot of young people were like, oh, let's invent a game. And of course, most of them didn't work, but for whatever reason, Tribon did. And now, years later, going on 30 years later, I really am a strong advocate for play. So I love what I do, but I also love the benefits of just getting together with the people you love and, you know, laughing, which we kind of need more of these days.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think if people got together who disagreed with each other for whatever reason, I think the world would be better too, because sometimes when you're playing a game, you actually learn some things about the other person.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, Christmas, traditional Christmas Eves, and this probably is not going to be one, but traditional Christmas Eve, people are playing games. They're playing the new game. You know, what was that? So what was that, 30 years ago? Wow. So Tribon was under the tree, and all the people that, yeah, maybe didn't see each other, they got together and they found something in common. That was Tribon 30 years ago. And in 2020, it is Megamouth. So people are doing.
Yeah, that. And I hope, you know, I think I may have shared this anecdote with you before, but I, you know, over the years, I've gotten letters from people that played whatever game it was, and one was a guy who had a falling out with his dad, and they didn't really get along, but they got together for Christmas because it was kind of, you know, you're obligated to do so, and they played a game that I created and had fun. And then he ended up writing me saying that, you know, that thawed the ice between us, and I just wanted to thank you. I was like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
To get a letter like that, you know. So
I'm tearing
cool.
up. I'm tearing up. What game was that? You know?
That was Tribon.
Was it?
And then, and then my game Blurt, this was before the internet, right? That's how old these games are. I got a letter from a guy that asked his fiance to marry him because they met at a party playing that game, and he slipped a fake card in the box and planned it so that she, when it was her turn to draw a card, it said, "Will you marry me?" And he wanted to let me know that. And I was like, that's an awesome
Tim, story. Unbelievable. You know what? Can we bring in a sound effect here? Let's do some. There it is. All right. That's right. That's beautiful stuff. You know, Blurt. Ashley, when we do a lot of our radio games, that's enough on the bells. Hang on. I got, you know, these reindeers start drinking early. when we play a lot of our radio games, it's a race against the clock, and that's the whole that's the whole idea of Blurt. So. Yeah. Anyway, your stuff just plays well. Hey, can I ask you? I should have asked you this off the air, but I'm gonna blurt it out. If you can imagine just for a second here, 22 after the hour. Go check your kitchen. All right. People are trying to multitask here. Can you imagine John Houseman doing this right now? If you could, I've got a big book here. Blow the dust off. The heck is the name of this? The Playmakers, Amazing Origins of Timeless Toys by Tim Walsh. Is that your book?
And that's an original. I self-published that, and it was called The Playmakers, and then it was picked up by a publisher and changed to Timeless Toys. But yeah, it's a big book.
It's
huge. I'm surprised you didn't throw your back out lifting that thing up.
I did. That's why I was off the air for 3 days earlier on this week. this is the, so, but it, under some title, you can get this book, yeah?
Yes. The Timeless Toys or The Playmakers is the original printing from 2004.
I wanted to walk through this real quick here. In fact, you know, I have no idea if people will have a second to multitask, but, I have Tim on the phone here, as you can hear. I'll tell you what, I'm going to open up our main studio line. It is, 773-907-0724. And if that line rings, I'll assume that it's you, and I'll put you on the air. You can ask Tim a question about about toys if you want. This book, man, it's fabulous, and you kind of just drop your finger anywhere here, and which leads me to say these truly are timeless toys, no matter what age people are as they listen to us. Mousetrap, let's see here. Barbie, of course, is in here. Yahtzee, Play-Doh. Oh man, yeah. Tim, I ate so much Play-Doh as a kid. That actually explains.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, that is Pez.
Well, there really is something timeless about toys. So look at Play-Doh, for instance. It came out in the late 50s. When you think about other entertainment choices from the late 50s, they may or may not still be around. Play-Doh sticks around. You can take any hit toy or game from almost any era, Monopoly coming out during the Depression. So what other entertainment choice from the 1930s is still a huge bestseller? You know, what song or what radio program or what, you know, they're all kind of gone. You know, you can find them in an archive somewhere, but Monopoly still is huge. So once a toy is popular, it tends to stick around.
I have a Monopoly set in the studio here over in the corner. I think, Tim, not to get inside baseball, I think it may have the wooden pieces. That would be pretty old, right, for the plastic stuff? When the little hotels were made of wood and not plastic. So.
Yep, they're wood. And the pawns, the tokens, the metal tokens that we know, they became wooden tokens during the war because we were limiting our metal production, of course, for the war effort. So they've been different things over the years. The very first game, Charles Darrow suggested, you know, you provide your own tokens. And then you and I have a connection with being on the show and having a woman call to tell me that, yeah, we had charm bracelets that we used for, and I knew Charles Darrow. That
yeah,
was
and we thought she was completely full of it, and it turned out that she was telling the truth.
Yes, yes.
Wow, yeah. So, yeah, speaking of the toys, you know, and everything is kind of still around, but it looks a little different. I'm looking here. Candyland is a perennial.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, I love that.
1949.
Was it?
Wow. Yeah, a woman named Eleanor Abbott invented it. She's a school teacher, and she's in a polio ward because she had polio, and there was kids in the ward, of course, that terrible disease, and she decided to come up with a game that they could play, you know, for real young kids, and it was so fun that some parents said, you should try to sell this. So she took it to Milton Bradley and Parker Brothers, and the rest is history.
Yeah, you blew it there. You're never going to get another deal with those people.
Well, they're both owned by Hasbro, so it's easy to confuse them.
I know. hey, speaking of Natasha Rodriguez, our producer, reminded me to ask you to tell everybody that you've got a whole bunch of stuff on YouTube now. You do a fabulous job in just the history of these things. Talk about that. You've got some YouTube stuff.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's funny. During COVID, when it first hit, I was just consuming Netflix and consuming this and eating too much, just consuming everything, food, everything. And I thought, oh, I need to start creating stuff because this could be really ugly in a couple months if this thing drags on. So just in the middle of this pandemic, I decided, you know what, I'm going to take this YouTube channel and just tell some stories about games. So I launched it. It's called Where's the Fun From? And it's my YouTube channel, Seize the Play. And I just tell the stories of, like, Candyland, for instance, because that was one of the first ones I did because, you know, as terrible as COVID is, thank God it didn't affect young children, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to be the opposite. And polio was just exactly that. It affected young kids more than anyone else, and it was, oh, what a scourge. But out of that terrible time, this woman, this amazing woman, comes up with this game, and here we are, you know, 50-some years later, and it's still being played.
Yeah, I think there's a real philosophical message here when, in times, if you mentioned the Depression, and it was an awful time, but look at all the art that came out of that and just everything. And, we're going to look back. I was saying that this morning. We'll look back on this Christmas in the future and say what was up. And I think that we will say this was a time of creativity and survival and trying to figure it out and to have some laughs in a very unfunny time in many ways. All right, so listen, I'm flipping through here. What do you still play? You play Yahtzee at all? Yahtzee's with the dice.
I do play Yahtzee. Jenga's a big one. Ooh. I love Jenga. So simple, but so fun.
Yeah,
my wife's a big Scrabble player. We love playing that together. So, yeah, we do our share of playing here for sure, not just creating games.
Hey, I got to ask you a question. This is I never send you any prep here, so feel free to say none of your business or I don't know. Speaking of Scrabble, which I happen to like, I'm not very good at it, there was a thing going around a while ago called Words with Friends, which
sure.
was, do you know about that? Isn't that Scrabble?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's certain games that like, so for instance, look at Scrabble. You've got Upwards, which is Scrabble, but with one little twist where you're stacking the letters on top of one another.
Right.
You've got Boggle, which is similar to Scrabble. So it's hard to, of course, no one can create a game and call it Scrabble. That is a trademark that is owned by one company. But getting around it in the app world, you know, Bananagrams is another one that's very similar, without a board, but with tiles. So it's interesting. Same thing with Yahtzee, right? There's a game called Kismet, which is basically right. the same exact thing. And Poker Dice is another name for that game. So there are, you know, variants of games that come out.
Do you yourself, do you have an attorney?
I do.
Because we were talking to our friend Carla Hamm yesterday. Carla Hamm's an entertainment attorney. We're talking about all these things that happen between bands and you know, their accountants and everything. But I got to think, boy, you look into this and it's even more complex than what chance the rapper might have on his manager. This stuff gets very intense, I'm sure.
So, yeah, and downright in what's the word I want? Counterfeit. When there's a hit. Really big hit toy like G.I. Joe is a famous story that G.I. Joe had a scar on his cheek when he first came out, and he was knocked off almost immediately because it was such a popular toy.
Yeah.
And Hasbro put his thumbprint on the wrong side of the thumb as like a tiny little error.
Yeah.
So that they knew if someone took their molds and actually made a doll and called it something else, they could check the thumbprint and say, ah, you stole our mold,
wow.
You dirty, rotten scoundrel.
Jeez. Wow. It's not all sweetness and light in Toyland, is it?
Not always.
All right. Well, Tim, hang on for 30, can you? I'm gonna
sure.
If I can, I'm gonna see if I can make you cry. What is that smell? You're not wearing the Old Spice today, are you, Tim?
I'm not, but no. I definitely felt like I should hearing that.
That's something that we just used to get these things that was like Old Spice and all that stuff. Even as a kid, they had like cologne and aftershave and then the others, the talcum powder, and geez. So yeah, that was Christmas of our youth. So listen, you are. You've survived here. We have a list of people who've made it, and you're certainly there. Let me see if I can get all these credits here. Jeez, go to our website. It's bleat.network, and you'll see Tim's mega mouth. You'll get a chance to go to his website, and seize the play is the is the YouTube. It's so cool here. I can't let you go here because we haven't played Cootie on the air yet. But Tim, I will see you in 2021.